This week's fire shop. Parshas Vayera, we read about the destruction of Sodom. And when you think about it, you realize that the destruction of Sodom was a destruction that was in total. Everyone, aside from Lot and his two daughters, was killed. The land was destroyed in such a way that nothing would ever grow again to this very day. Yam HaMelach, which is totally unsuitable for what normal watering is done, is used for, was created. And you have to ask yourself, why was this such total destruction? Why? What was so bad, so evil about Sodom? Mepharshim suggests different approaches. We'll talk about one approach. The Malbim and others suggested. And that is that in Sodom, it wasn't only that they did evil. There have unfortunately been innumerable number of cities, towns, countries, kings, nations that have done evil. But Sodom was a little bit different. Because in Sodom, evil was legalized. Not only was evil legalized, but to do evil was mandatory, and to do good was prohibited. And because Sodom had such an attitude, that not only did they do bad, but they said, you must do bad, and you can't do good. And anyone who does good is going to get punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and said, such a nation can't exist, such a land has been so tainted that it needs to be totally destroyed. What were the examples of how Sodom legalized evil and made doing good illegal? So one of them is famous. The Medrash says that there was a rule in Sodom that anybody who was caught with bread that they planned to give to a poor person would be put to death. We know that in Sodom, which was one of the richest, most fertile lands around, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had granted them such wonder, such wealth, that instead of being grateful, they said, why should we share with others? We don't want people coming by, wayfarers passing by and taking from our lands. So it was usher to invite people in. It was so bad that they used to go and kill the birds who flew over Sodom because they might nibble at some of the berries or some of the fruit. And if you were caught helping a good person, you were the evil person. Famous Medrash about one young woman who was secretly passing bread on to a poor person who was in Sodom. And the people in Sodom got suspicious because the poor person wasn't dying of hunger. How is that possible? So they kept an eye out and they saw a very quietly, and what she thought no one would notice, she was passing on some bread to this person so he wouldn't die of starvation. And they took her, they covered her from head to foot with honey, and they put her in front of a whole swarm of bees until she got bitten to death. That was the evil in Sodom. You took immorality and you made it legal. And then you said that anybody who wanted to be moral, anybody who wanted to help somebody, so they themselves are going to get punished. You see how bad Sodom is. But sometimes if you think, you wonder, How far away is the world today from stone? Are we so distant from stone? Or do we have some inkling of practices of stone? A few months ago in the United States, the Supreme Court issued a ruling. Take something that's so immoral, makes it 100% legal. To the extent that people are concerned that anybody who wants to maintain real morality and to oppose the immorality can be subject to punishment, not the death penalty, but fines and imprisonment, and sued in a court of law. Why? Because you want to maintain your morality. No, you can't anymore. We redefined it. Immorality is legal. Moral behavior, that's not allowed. Moral principles go out the window. And then there was another rule in stone. A very strange rule. But if you think about it, based on what's going on today, you begin to understand the rule. In Stone, in the court of law, if person A wounded person B, he threw a rock at him, and person B was bleeding, and they would go to the court of law, person B, the one who the rock was thrown at was bleeding, was told he had to pay person A. Why? He hit me. He hurt me. He wounded me. Yeah? But we know that in the ancient world, and even till relatively speaking, almost modern times, when a person was sick, they would do bloodletting. Bloodletting was that they felt that if a person was sick, they would draw blood from him and that would make him better. That's what the doctors would do. You have to pay a doctor's fee. So they would tell the person who was hit by the rock and bleeding, said, pay him, because he did bloodletting. He wasn't sick, doesn't matter. You have to pay the fee. It's absurd. It's mamish crazy. But what does it mean? It means there's an aggressor and there's a victim. And you go to the court of law in Sodom, and it's the victim who has to pay the aggressor. The victim has to pay the price. What goes on nowadays? What goes on here? How does the world view what goes on in this country? There's an aggressor who harms, who wounds, who tries to kill. But instead of punishing the aggressor, no. You gang up on the victim. See, the victim, you have to compensate the aggressor. So they don't call it bloodletting, they'll come up with something else. It's very scary. But the world today is not so far from the world of stone. So where does that leave us? We can sit and we can complain. We can point fingers. But that's not really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. Because if we are suffering on the hands of a world out there that seems to be acting on the pathway of Sodom, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us a message, giving us a message, that we need to take a look at our own behavior. Maybe we need to improve how we think, how we act. First thing we need to be sure is that we don't buy in to what's politically correct about what's moral and what's immoral. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a guide, a very precious guide, an eternal guide, to let us know what's considered right and what's considered wrong, what's moral and what's immoral. And it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Take a look at Sodom. Everybody, the Torah tells us. Everybody in the city of Sodom gathered around Lot's house, without exception, to harm the visitors. Lot took it. The majority isn't always right. That's the first thing we need to be sure of. We don't just say, well, times have changed, people are thinking differently, maybe I have to rethink. Hashem, we have a guide to tell us how we should, how we're supposed to be thinking. And how are we acting? Are we sometimes like stone? Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, Ha'omer shali shali v'shalach shalach. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. Harezo mida beinonis. That's considered an average kind of attitude. But that's not average. That's like stone. Why? What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. I'm not stealing yours. But if not willing to share, says the Yesh Omrim, if I say what's mine is mine, I'm not taking yours, but don't touch mine, that, to a certain extent, is midas stone. We need to be willing to share, to give of our own, not to hoard things. The opposite of stone is Avraham. The opposite of midas stone is chesed. I read once, it was a while ago, I hope I remember the details correctly, more or less. I think it was in the yeshiva in Kfar Chassidim by Rabbi Elia Lapian. The Talmidim were told that they couldn't go to sleep at night unless they made certain that they had done at least 3 acts of chesed that day. It could be very, very small acts of chesed. Somebody needed to borrow a pen for a moment, and you lent it to them. You held open a door for somebody. Somebody dropped something and you picked it up. Anything. But you couldn't go to sleep unless you made a cheshbon nefesh to make sure that you did at least 3 acts of chesed a day. Each day. I never tried that. I never sat down at night and said that I do 3 acts of chesed today. I hope that I've done it, but I'm not sure. But maybe it's not a bad idea. And if we don't want to start with 3, maybe just 1. Maybe 2. Just to be certain that there isn't a single night that we go to sleep where we can't say that we haven't done at least some chesed. I would venture to say that hopefully for all of us, we all naturally do some chesed every day. But it would be a bad idea to check on ourselves. And if we find that we're doing 1 act of chesed all the time anyway, so maybe make it 2. If we're surrounded by people, by a civilization, by a world community that seems to be headed towards stone, then we need to head back towards Avraham Avinu. And that's where chesed comes in. And maybe that's what we need to be mechazek ourselves in right now. So I'm suggesting, try it. Think about it. I think you'll find that you do much more than just 1 act of chesed a day. But focus on chesed. V'chol ha'marbe, harei zeh meshubach.